We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here on this Friday with Jason Collette stepping in for Todd Zola, who's taking some well-deserved time off. Really appreciate you coming on, Jason. I owe you one. Happy birthday week to you, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, I am now a knuckleball pitcher. I am in the 49 club. But how dare Todd take a vacation? I didn't know he's allowed to do that, considering he feels like he works 9 days a week. But if anyone deserves one, Todd does.
Yeah, no kidding. I got one last week, and I'm glad Todd got one in before the end of the season, just a little break, because he deserves a little breather. He's like Cal Ripken out here.
Pretty much.
Pretty much have to step in and, you know, save him from himself a little bit. But no, I appreciate Todd's hard work on this show all year long. We're going to be doing his thing with the two start starters, grading those on a 0 to 5 scale. We always mention that it's very tentative, but this week, even more so than ever. I mean, who the hell knows who's going to be starting the final day of the regular season for any of these teams, but we'll try our best. And it'll give us a jumping off point for a lot of guys. By the way, on your birthday, Shane Baz took the ball. That was actually on your birthday, wasn't it?
It was. That was fun to watch. He got a win for my AL Tout Wars team because I acquired him in a trade from Rick and Glenn about 5-6 weeks ago, hoping he'd be up earlier in September. But I do appreciate the Rays throwing me a nice birthday present there and giving us 5 innings of Shane Baz. And yeah, he gave up 2 solo shots. And I don't know if people watched the outing, but one of them was just ridiculous. Teoscar Hernandez hit a 97 mile an hour fastball that was above the zone, riding at the letters. I mean, it's textbook fastball. The only way you hit that pitch out is if you're like Teoscar Hernandez or like 4 other guys in baseball and you're sitting on the pitch. And it was like a 1-2 thing too. It wasn't like 3-0. I mean, it was just a perfectly executed pitch. But Teoscar Hernandez is just that kind of hitter, and he went up and got it and crushed it. So you just got to tip your hat sometimes and be like, damn, that's just really good hitting. But he looked really good. I mean, the strike throwing, I saw that stats by stats threw out something and said it was the highest percentage of strikes thrown by a pitcher in his rookie debut since like 1970. It was ridiculous what he did, but that's been the big thing with Shane Baz. And when they made the trade with Pittsburgh, the rap on him was, I don't know if he's going to be a starter or a reliever. He's got command issues. You know, obviously they turned him from a low fastball to a high fastball guy, but he has just been filling the strike zone all year, whether it's been Montgomery, Durham, Tokyo, wherever he's pitched. And you saw some of that in that game there, and hope we get to see some more of that this weekend when he should get the ball at some point in this series against Miami.
Yeah, you alluded to it, but he was pitching in the Olympics, and it just seems like they always kind of intended to have him play a pretty big role in the postseason, and they're finally kind of getting his feet wet in the bigs. And I did not see that outing. I was traveling, but it sounded like there was a lot of excitement. It sounds like with recency bias, we'll see obviously how he does in the postseason, but I already get a sense that he's going to be pretty pricey next year, Shane Baz.
Yeah, I mean, it goes, you kind of look at it I saw some people, I can't recall names, so I won't single anybody out, but people were like, oh yeah, the same thing happened with McClanahan last year, where you saw him come up late in the season and then they bring him up in the postseason and he pretty much pitched low leverage baseball. But I think the difference between those two, and you like McClanahan as much as anybody else, he definitely had command issues last year. He could not locate consistently, and that's the difference. And in the outing, it's been, we saw it at the major league level, but it's been all year like this with Shane Baz, that location is not a problem for him. So I don't see Baz getting relegated to low leverage work like McClanahan was for the most part in the postseason last year, because that's the difference maker. I mean, there were times when you bring McClanahan out, there'd be a runner on base, and all of a sudden there's three runners on base because he was adding fuel to that fire. And so that's really going to be the difference. We'll see how these teams manage these teams in the postseason, because quite frankly, some of these teams are crawling to the finish line with their pitching staffs. I think about Chicago in particular, Dallas Keuchel. I don't think he can. I think he's in such a hurry for the regular season to end, because statistically he's been a nightmare in the second half. And a few other guys. I mean, look at Aaron Civale yesterday. It seemed like Chicago was like, all right, we want to win the division today, and we're going to take it out in Aaron Civale. And oh boy, did they.
Yeah, they really did. One last thing on Baz, and you mentioned McClanahan. I like him. Do you think there's a question between who goes first among those two? I would think it'd be McClanahan, but maybe they're both kind of going just outside the top 100 in those big money, high stakes drafts.
It's going to be tough. I mean, the one knock that people are going to look at once the season's over is McClanahan has had a lot of his success built upon facing the Orioles. I mean, I think he's got 4 wins against them. Obviously, the club won 18 of 19 games against Baltimore this year. Just absurd. I mean, it was like the Gleyber Torres factor. But that's Baz four. But McClanahan, 4 of his wins and a lot of his good production has come against Baltimore. That said, Baltimore has also been able to hit other pitchers and put up a hurting on other pitchers. So it's not like, yeah, their record's terrible, but it's terrible because their bullpen is awful. And for the most part, their starting pitching is too. But they can hit. They still have good hitters in that lineup. We see it with Cedric Mullins, Trey Mancini. I mean, they have put up some numbers, but the problem is they've given up even more.
Absolutely true. Now, Todd Zola is not in the RotoWire Stake League, but usually on Fridays I mention some of the pickups to him, run them by him. And I'll do the same with you here. I honestly was kind of hoping to either get Baz or Joe Ryan. I know that was unlikely. But I was hoping maybe people would be focused on football and I could maybe sneak one of those guys through. But Joe Ryan ended up going for 23. So a guy who had good amount of his fab left ended up shelling that out for Joe Ryan here in this last fab period, by the way. We have a 10-day period here to close out the lineup period to close out the season.
Gotcha.
Joe Ryan, I feel like Baz and McClanahan too, like the hype's getting pretty loud here with Joe Ryan. Struck out 11 on Wednesday. It was against that depleted Cubs team. But do you think the excitement is warranted generally with Joe Ryan of Minnesota?
Yeah, preseason I had him as a top 200 pitcher in the bold prediction series. I mean, he
– Oh, that's right. That's
yeah, impressive. I mean, and it wasn't just because he pitched for Tampa Bay. It's like he led he led minor leagues in 2019 in strikeout percentage. 37% of his hitters he struck out. And had a really low walk rate. And if you don't know Joe Ryan, go watch him pitch. He basically throws an invisible. He throws a fastball. I kind of compared him to Colin Pochet. If you remember when Pochet came up, same type of hidden fastball with a lot of ride to it. And that's where and he threw it a lot. But with Pochet, command issues, they would give up the home run because they could sit on the fastball. But same thing with Ryan. He's got that funky delivery / release where the ball is really, really hides the ball well. So I would kind of almost say he's like Yusmeiro Petit with a little more velocity in that regard, because that's how Petit came up through the minor leagues as well, as one of the guys that hitters really had a tough time picking up. But Petit has always been like an 89-92 guy. Ryan's 92-95-96. So with that, and so it's, I really liked him coming into the season. I was hoping he'd come to the majors earlier, but then going to the Olympics, that kind of put that to the side with that. But as much as I love the Rays acquiring Nelson Cruz, the price to get him was a really tough one because big Joe Ryan fan. And he is, since he's come up, he's done exactly, you know, he showed everybody else kind of, this is why Minnesota targeted this guy, and why he's like, it was great to, they paid a price to get Nelson Cruz. So other teams didn't get Nelson Cruz. It's typically not the deal you see Tampa Bay make. And with losing Glasnow for the rest of the year and next year, you know, it would have been, and Archer's done, you know, it would have been nice to have Joe Ryan around right now, but the lineup needed the help, and the team has performed well since then. But yeah, it's going to be tough watching Joe Ryan succeed for another organization.
Yeah. And man, it seemed like they had their eye on Nelson Cruz for a long time. They finally got it done.
Years.
They wanted to bring him in forever, it seemed like.
Yes.
And they did finally do it, but it cost them quite a bit. And so, yeah, I'm thinking Joe Ryan, I mean, maybe because it's the Twins and, you know, they're up in the Midwest and the cold and the bad team, maybe people sleep on him a little bit. But I almost feel like he's going to be in that Boz-McClanahan range. I think Manoah probably going even higher, probably going like – you think Manoah's going like top 75?
He's been great. I mean, when I watch him pitch, yeah, it's kind of – what's been impressive with him is just how he really attacks the zone. The slider is just disgusting. It really is a disgusting pitch. And the way he works up, down, in and out, he pitches. And what's been amazing about him is like, he's been learning the professional game at the major league level. He has, you know, fewer than 40 innings pitched in the minor leagues. And, you know, he came from a decent college pedigree program in West Virginia, but he pitches like a 30-year-old veteran. He doesn't pitch like a kid. And it's just great to watch him pitch. You know, it's really unfortunate when he's been able to shut the Rays down a bunch this season, but I've watched some other games and when he doesn't get himself in the trouble with some bad location, he can really dominate a lineup. And so it's going to be fun to watch what's going to happen there. You also want to see what Toronto does with their overall roster this offseason, because obviously the run support that Manoah has enjoyed in that lineup, it has been fun this year, but next year you would hope that they're going to be home in the one stadium for the entire season and not play in Dunedin and Buffalo and even a home game in Los Angeles or Anaheim as they did this year for a makeup game. You know, they've had four different home stadiums this year for their games, maybe five. I may be missing one. So it's been a bit weird, and I know it's skewed some of their numbers. Like people look at Robbie Ray's a lot of home runs. Well, he was pitching in some really unfriendly environments throughout most of that, but that's where. I'll be interested to see where Manoah, obviously you take the risk of a young pitcher having that big of a step up in workload, but that's a big boy. I mean, if anybody can soak something up like that, it may be him.
Yeah, I remember him breaking in with that start at Yankee Stadium, and it just seemed like he was primed for a pretty special run, and he's been awesome. I think with health, he'll be a Cy Young threat in years to come, and maybe thinking I could get him around 75 is wishful thinking.
We'll see.
Frankly,
the early drafts start what, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
What we have starts kicking off some of the offseason, you know, way too early draft. I'm waiting for that email invitation to come in. Todd usually organizes it.
Yeah, I think Todd's doing one pretty soon. I'm sure there will be others. And yeah, now that I think about it, maybe he's treated as like a SP2 and around, you know, 50 or so, maybe even higher.
Well, at worst, we know we're going to be doing something. We'll be doing something in Arizona for the fall league. You know, I'm sure there'll be some drafts happening there. So we'll be able to see roughly in about 3 weeks where he's going in the early drafts.
So you are going to first pitch?
Absolutely.
Great. I was on the fence for a while, of course, just given everything going on in the world. But I will be going. So I'm looking forward to seeing you, man, catching up.
Yeah, missed you in July.
Yeah, you look great, by the way. You look like. I know you've been like hiking and doing all kinds of stuff. Great, great.
Thanks.
Look on you, man. I need to.
I have been active.
I just got some new basketball shoes. I'm going to be making my hashtag the return to the hoop court.
Nice.
I sure hope. But I picked up last night. I picked up Sam Hilliard mostly because they're at home the next week or so. Finally dropped Mike Trout. What a galaxy brain move by Reed to hold Mike Trout all year. And Bobby. He was the other guy I dropped this week.
That's the weird thing, the Bobby Witt thing. I don't blame you though, because it'd be like, I mean, I've probably told the story. There was the one year where I drafted Francisco Lindor as a reserve pick and tout as a reserve and sat. And I was like, I can't tie up this roster spot anymore. Cut him. Like 3 days later, he gets called up. And there was no talk about that. And even the same thing 2 years ago, I was sitting on Liam Hendricks before he got the closer role. You know, he was just middle relief and he really wasn't doing anything for me. Mm-hmm. And I need to look at this area. I don't need, and then he gets and blows up in 2019. So it's just like, I get it. Every time now, I can't help but think about those two guys. Every time I'm like, should I cut this guy? Should I cut this? It's like, I'm going to give it another week. And then sometimes it plays out. So, I mean, I didn't do anything to that regard, but like this week, to activate Christian Arroyo, I cut Cesar Hernandez. And AL Tout, I am trying to chase some numbers. Cesar Hernandez did not enjoy the trade deadline because he has been horrendous since leaving Cleveland to go to Chicago. And I just couldn't carry him in the lineup anymore. I was like, I'm trying to make up some ground. I want to get, I can't win AL Tout, but I could potentially finish as high as fourth. And so that would be nice that, you know, Chris List is probably going to finish second. And then I'd be fourth, and Ryan Bloomfield looks like he's got a pretty firm hold on third. But I haven't finished in the top four spot in Tout in a few years, so it'd be nice to get back there. So you just got to make decisions right now, and it is what it is. You try. I mean, I like the move of picking up Hilliard with all the games in Colorado, maximize and see what happens. Because right now it all comes down to at bats. I was trying to think the other day. There was a lineup decision I made last week, and a guy had. Or earlier this week, he had four games. He had a Monday to Thursday slot. And then I benched Yandy Diaz because he only had three games and he hit that 3-run home run on my birthday. And I was like, you know, I sat him, but like the process, it made sense. You know, you're trying to make sure you get enough at bats. One guy's got three games. One guy's got four games. The matchups were equal. And I'm like, I'm going to go with the guy with four games because they both hit high in the line. I forgot the other guy that I put in. It was like they both hit high in the lineup. One's going to get four, potentially five more plate appearances. I'm going to go that direction. I haven't seen how the numbers played out at the end of the day, but Yandy's been hitting well, and that 3-run home run would have been nice.
Yeah, I wish you could have capitalized on that on your birthday, man. But at least you got to see Boz pitching. Yeah. You know, with Witt, I was just kind of paralyzed with fear, as you said, like just thinking, oh, if I drop him, this is going to be the week.
Yeah.
And probably did myself quite a disservice by stashing him all year with nothing. And with Trout, it was just, I mean, the worst, literally the worst calf injury of all time. Like the longest recovery
has to be. I mean, I can't remember unless it was like a completely torn off the bone type of thing. But this has been,
I think I saw that this was the longest recovery from a calf strain on record.
Wow.
So that's horrible. And I don't know how to treat Trout next year. Honestly, I don't know if I'll have him in the first round. I think a lot of people will because it's the greatest player they've ever laid eyes on. And that's the fact for me as well. But the missed time has really added up. And this calf
is starting to pile up.
This is like, you know, the calf narrative followed Josh Donaldson for years. And
yeah,
it wasn't even as bad as this one Mike Trout has been dealing with. Behind Hilliard, I also picked up Tony Kemp just for multi-position eligibility, just in case. Nick Gordon was picked up. He's been running pretty wild.
He has been.
He's stealing some bags. Zach Gallen was out there. He was picked up. Edward Cabrera. Andres Jimenez. You got your eye on anybody? I know it's pretty late in the game. Not really many needle movers out there. But anybody you got your eye on this weekend to maybe scoop up?
No, not yet. I mean, I've really just been keeping an eye on how the individual categories are in the leagues. You know, looking at things, I wrote about it 2 weeks ago saying, you know, September got off to a weird start with the way pitching wins were being distributed. Almost 60% of them went to relievers. And so I started loading up on relievers. And then that's come down to 52% here as we're recording. So it's starting to even out a little bit more, but that's still low comparatively because in the early part of the season, 58 to 60% of wins went to starting pitchers. And now we're seeing an even split to that. And so the wins in many of my leagues, the categories are very tightly grouped. Like the tough loss that Brandon Woodruff took the other day, that one hurt. you know, 10 strikeouts, one run, six innings, and he took a loss. And I was like, come on, really? Needed that one. And then, you know, there was the McCullers had a pretty tough loss yesterday. It's like every one of these throughout the season, they're like disappointing. Now they're like really hurting because you're looking like, okay, I have 72 wins. The guy in front of me has 73. I'm 3 points behind him in the overall standing. So if we can make a switch, I'm a little bit closer and, you know, that type of thing. So it really hurts to stare at some of these because we're just about out of runway. I mean, you said earlier, we got 10 days left and we're already starting to see some of these teams put the reserves in earlier than we expect. You know, there's going to be some hangover next day celebrations because, hey, we clinched the playoff spot. We clinched the division. And, you know, there was a joke because the other day Cleveland and Chicago had a doubleheader and Chicago clinched it in the first. I was like, do you get drunk in between games and then put everybody else? How does that work?
Drinking in the dugout.
Yeah. So I did some of that in high school. But so, yeah, it'll be weird to see how much people are going to play because some of these teams, they're limping to the finish line. They truly are. And next week could be just, hey, we're going to go out there and get some maintenance work in there. And here's your three or four innings and that's it. And we're going to use some of these relievers, especially once the positioning is done. You know, some of these divisions aren't clinched yet. Home field advantage, I would say by like Tuesday, Wednesday, latest next week, just about everything's going to be settled. With who's in and who's playing where. So, and now it may be, you know, all eyes will be on the, that Philly Atlanta series coming up. That's going to be an interesting one because Philly's still somehow only two games behind, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like last night was crazy because Philly's had, we're down six runs. Atlanta was winning and you wake up in the morning and see that the, both games went the other direction. And so those teams, it'll be nice because that's the way it should be. Like you come down to a final series and I forget if they have the final three games next week or is it the front half, but those two teams are playing each other. And that's the way it should be. It's fun to see those things. I mean, we all remember 2011 and how all that played out, which was just fun to watch the final day. I mean, it's good. You can't really make that happen again, but at least you can get one or two series where things are being decided on the final weekend. That's always fun.
Yeah, man, this is a good time for the game and good to have so many teams in the hunt. I can't believe the Phillies are still in the hunt for
it's yeah, in spite of themselves too. Yeah. I mean, blowing actually the they play that their series is early next week. I'm looking at it now. They play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Nice. Well, we'll do our two-star thing. Let's first, though, pay some bills and sort of do a quick commercial break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with guest co-host Jason Collette. Really appreciate you stepping in for Todd Zola. And, you know, we do our two-start, zero-to-five thing. Very tentative, as always, but especially this week. So very informal. We'll try our best. But, you know, somebody – I got to have to look up his name to confirm. But somebody did a little evaluation of our two-step grades recently, and it was pretty cool. But I thought it was really interesting that only about 60% of our two-start hopefuls end up, at least throughout this year, ended up making that second start.
So really?
That is definitely something that I'm going to be weighing heavily, at least more heavily next year, just that idea that, you know, I just kind of assume that these two-star guys I pick up and throw in there are going to make that second start, but the numbers really don't support that. I'll have to tweet out that link here.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on Twitter. I'm like wondering, is it because of the weather delays? Like, what is the
just a variety of things. Weather delays, injuries, reshuffling the rotation. And granted, we do it on Friday, and you know, by the time you do your fab on Sunday and set your lineup on Monday, we have a little bit more clarity on the situation. But even so, that second start of the week is definitely no lock to even go down. So keep those caveats in mind as we grade next week's, the final week of the season's two-star pitchers. No two-steppers for Arizona, but for Atlanta, Ian Anderson versus Philly versus the Mets. He's been pretty darn good. I had some concerns about his command coming up to the minors. The Braves need him to pitch well here.
He's fine. Yeah, I agree. I would agree. I don't think there's anything here to say avoid with him. It's obviously the spotlight's going to be on that big matchup against Philadelphia. Atlanta's got that two-game lead as we're talking today. We'll see where that stands on Tuesday. But there's nothing that I'm seeing that says I'm going to avoid that one. And he's one of the guys, as we talked about the uncertainty of who's going to pitch what. The fact that they're trying to wrap up a division means he's going to be treated like a regular starter, and that's very attractive.
Yeah, I would think among the candidates that we're going to talk about, he'd be one of the more likely to make that second start, unless Atlanta wraps things up ahead of time. But by the way, you mentioned those hangover lineups. As somebody who did breaking news here on the site for many years, there are very few things more annoying than the hangover lineups where you have to write out of the lineup notes for all nine. super annoying. Only thing that was worse is when, you know, rosters expanded to 40 and you'd have to write 15 notes per team on guys called up.
Yeah, don't miss that anymore.
Staggered. Yeah, I don't miss that at all.
Yeah.
At least they used to be like staggered. They'd bring up, you know, like six guys initially, then six more a week later.
Well, then if we had that right now, it would be so problematic because there would be so many bullpen days. Oh, like can you imagine? At least now you have some shot of trying to roster a reliever picking up a win, but the bullpen days would be out of control right now if they were back to anybody on the 40 could come up and hang out in the dugout right now.
Yeah, I know some people are kind of, they don't like that the 40 man rosters in September were done away with, but I think it's a godsend. I mean, not just because, you know, it lightens the workload for me, but I mean, that baseball where you have nine pitching changes on some
two Sunday pitching runners, the third catcher situation. I mean, I remember when Tampa Bay had Jonathan Davis, they brought him up literally to be the pinch runner in September. That's all any worked. Yeah, there was one or two games where he contributed in that, and he was happy. There's an interview out there where he's like, man, I'm in the majors. Like, it was this great interview, if you could find it on YouTube. But that's all he did. I mean, he was just up to be a runner. That was his skill. Now, you could argue that's what Jared Dyson's doing with Toronto right now. I mean, I know he started the other day, but he's pretty much been out there as that kind of runner extraordinaire for them to use. But the other day they had to put him in the lineup.
I mean, I know, you know, I don't like that there's fewer jobs for these these great players, but at the same time, the quality on the field, the product gets so watered down when they did that. And yeah, too many pitching changes. So I'm glad that we're capped at 28 in September now. But for Baltimore, Keegan Aiken, I don't see any reason to consider him. So I'm going to give him a zero, right?
Yep.
No reason to spend another.
Not just anything else. I mean, the other day, you know, they threw the shutout against Philly, and it was, you know, one of my best friends is a big Phillies fan. It was just funny just to tease him about that for a while. But John Means, I mean, if somebody's going to throw it for that team, it's going to be him. And the troubles that Philly has had with lefty pitching from time to time. So, but at the bullpen could just blow anything. And, you know, the one of these starts is going to be against Boston. Boston has found its sea legs again, and the offense is firing on cylinders. And that's just, that could be a very uncomfortable matchup, because if you're putting that kind of starter out there, it's got to be a really, like, you really, really need wins, and the probability of them picking up a win at, you know, with Boston in Camden, the way that park plays, no thanks.
No, not at all. Now, getting back to the two-star grid here, nobody for the Cubs. So next up, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped Boston. Chris Sale, I mean, 5-0 with a 2.57 ERA. I think he's back into the five range pretty
it's crazy.
Easily.
It's crazy how a guy coming off major surgery can almost pick up right where he left off. But yeah, again, with one of those matches, with one of those matchups against Baltimore, you know, that alone is Baltimore could still hit. I mean, their record's terrible, but again, they could still hit. And then the other matchup is going to be against the Nationals, where as long as he doesn't have to face Juan Soto in a critical situation, he should be able to survive that one as well. But that one, you would hope that by that point, Boston has potentially wrapped up their future. They got that big series against the Yankees this weekend, which should move the needle in one direction or the other. If they take care of their own business this weekend, that makes the final week much easier for them. If not, then Chris Sale may have to go out there and run both those starts, both of them out there. And that final start gets the Nationals pitch around Juan Soto, who's hitting something like 600 over the last 2 weeks. I saw some tweet this morning. It's absurd what he's doing right now. That's really the only risk you have this week or Chris Sale.
It is crazy. And as you mentioned, some of these guys come back and either their command's gone for a while or they're just – don't have the velocity or whatever, but he's just come back and been, I mean, like he didn't miss 18 months. It's been crazy. So I wonder, I'm interested to see how he's handled next year. I imagine he'll probably be top 3-4 rounder in most drafts. Now, again, nobody for the Cubs, but for the Reds, Wade Miley, this feels like almost a trap because he's dealing with a neck thing, stiff neck. You're saying he won't start until at least Monday's makeup game against the Pirates. If he doesn't start that, maybe he's only a one-stepper at the White Sox. So this could be one where, you know, you look at maybe two against Pitt. That looks fantastic, but he's been struggling. At least 5 earned runs in 3 of his last 4 starts and hurt. So this feels like one where I'm actually going to give Miley only a 3 because this feels like the one where it could backfire on.
I'm not even sure if he's usable. I mean, I'm sorry. Let's be real. Your Reds have played their way out of the postseason.
They've been terrible, man.
They have been terrible.
And then they extend David Bell, which I don't hate. But, I mean, they've kind of just
– everybody's getting extended, though. Lavallo got extended. Brandon Hyde got extended. I mean, it doesn't matter. But the one manager who hasn't been extended is Dusty Baker. Go figure that one out, right?
Of course.
They've played their way out of the postseason. They had a really good schedule and they just blew it. So they're 5.5 out of the wild card right now. So they pretty much have to win out. And this weekend they could, let's say they drop 2 or 3 to whoever they're playing this weekend. They could shut Wade Miley down the rest of the year. Yeah. So like to me, I can't count on Wade Miley next week, given the way the Reds have played baseball of late. There's a good chance that Wade Miley has already thrown his last pitch of the season.
I'm going to lower mine to a 2, and I'm going to mark you down for a 0 because it's something.
I would go 0 because when we look at the schedule, they're playing the Nationals, and they honestly need to sweep that series to stay in it. And if they don't sweep that series, why bother? You know, they'll be 6.5 back with like 6 or 7 to play. I'm out.
Yeah, I think that's probably you know, good advice. You might as well pick somebody else up or just plug in a reliever if you're, if you don't want to roll the dice on a potential goose egg from Miley, which looks like it's a possibility given that neck injury and where the Reds are at in the standings. Nobody for Cleveland. Looks like they'll, you know, they've been going six man. And so no two steppers lined up for them. German Marquez for Colorado Rockies, home against Washington, then at Arizona. I'm probably just going to give him a four because at this point, even though one is at home, you just got to be chasing wins, right?
Yeah, I mean, he pitched yesterday. So it's like, it, and he, like, if we're looking, think back at the other number, about only 60% of them made that. Like, he could be one of those where maybe on paper he's a two-start guy, but he doesn't end up making that second start because he pitched yesterday, which Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which would put him on Tuesday.
Yeah,
but then he would have to. So it's really tough that he's going to get both starts. So for me, it's like, you know, whatever the one start is. You said they're playing a lot of games at home next week, so that makes it a little. If I look at, as the schedule is loading up, he has the Nationals in there. So same thing we said about Chris Sale. Just please don't pitch. Well, actually, do pitch to Juan Soto because it'd be fun to watch Juan Soto hit the ball in Denver again. And go that direction.
Yeah, looking at Marquez, he's been pretty rocky lately. Only 5 Ks his last two starts. His last start was on September 22nd. So I think he would be lined up for Monday, but I thought he pitched
last night.
In the game log I'm seeing, it says 22nd. But either
maybe
way,
I was wrong. Maybe I was watching highlights late yesterday. That's what it may have been.
Yeah, either way, it's pretty iffy, and you definitely don't want to count on that second start, and you don't want to go into that assuming you're going to get that second one from Marquez against Arizona. You'd love to get Arizona on the road, but who knows? Dallas Keuchel, I'm probably going to give him a zero, even though he lines up for Detroit. Actually, he's not a two-stepper. I'm sorry.
I'd still give him a zero. He's looked terrible. And Detroit can hit well, but Dallas Keuchel, his numbers, he looked great in the first half, but this is one of the things – I wrote about in the collect calls column early in the season, just saying, hey, look at how some of these managers are pushing these guys like it's a normal season. They're coming off a normal season, and eventually it's going to catch up with them. That was one of the ways Chicago was hiding their problematic bullpen was just to ride their starters. And then they get Kimbrel. You thought they'd try to shut it down, but then some of these guys have pitched their way out of it. And Keuchel's one of them. I don't know how Keuchel makes a postseason rotation. He's out there pitching right now, but he is like a throwback AL starter from like the mid 80s right now. I mean, he's got a 5.18 ERA. He seems like he's been stuck on 8 wins forever. And it's just
traffic
been,
too.
Every game there's somebody. Like, I'm looking, he won a game on August 16th and July 9th. He has one win in the second half of the season. And that's where it's been, I mean, almost limping. So if we go to the All-Star break and say, give me the numbers, he is 1-6 with a 5.19 ERA. With a 6.71 ERA. That was a 5.19 K9. One win, 12 starts. I mean, he and the traffic on the base pass, 75 hits, 25 walks and 59 innings.
Oh, yeah, I was editing a note, and I saw that his whip's like basically 1.5 now. It's just like,
and he just faced Detroit his last time out and had 12 base runners in 5 innings, but that's only allowed 2 runs because Detroit was stranding and couldn't drive these guys in. So that's the crazy part about it, is even with all that traffic, 12 base runners, only 2 of them came home.
I know Carlos Rodon's kind of had some health issues. He's got an arm issue right now, but I'm with you. Even so, I don't see how Keuchel makes a postseason rotation. That's just walking too thin of a line every time out. Mm-hmm. Now for Detroit, Tyler Alexander has not been that bad. He tentatively lines up at Minnesota, at the White Sox. I mean, that's pretty tough, but I could see one desperation. Maybe pick up Tyler Alexander for $1. I'll give him a complimentary one on a kind of an underrated season.
I'll let him have a 2 this week because those matchups could be, we'll see what Tony La Russa is trying to roll out there with Chicago. They literally have nothing to play for at this point. They just have to stay healthy. And so we could see as much, I guess the other factor of not having the 40-man expanded September rosters, there's always so much they can do. They can call up Yep. Sebi Zavala, maybe they bring him back up because Charlotte shuts down Sunday is the final game for the AAA team. So they may be able to swap some guy to be like, hey, you know, we're going to bring this guy up or this guy finally gets optioned down. Like this morning, the Rays brought back Wander Franco and Taylor Walls went back down to Durham, even though Durham, is their schedule's done Sunday as well. So we'll see how that, we'll see all that plays out, but there's only so much benching they can do of guys. And so some of these guys will be in lineups, but are they at 100%? Like mentally, if they're just, you know, trying to stay healthy and keep their reps regular, that's the other thing to consider is, you know, the goal next week for a team like Chicago is don't get hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good point that, assuming Alexander makes that second start, that White Sox team he might be facing could be, you know, kind of like their B team in that outing. No two-start starters for Houston, but then for Kansas City, Brady Singer at Cleveland versus Minnesota. This is a pretty good one and probably one of the, you know, in 12s, one of the top pickups that I'd recommend for the week because I think I saw on Twitter it was something about Eno Saris's like pitching plus metric really liking Singer. And you look at his recent outings, 20 to 3K to walk. Has given up five. He didn't have that five homer.
Ooh. Yeah, against Minnesota. Homer, yeah.
that'll do some damage. But at least the K to walk has looked good. You can at least hang your head on that recently. And so I'm going to give him a three. Would you roll the dice on Singer this week?
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, you said he's got Minnesota and Cleveland, right?
Yeah, at Cleveland and at home against Minnesota.
All right, so last two were both on the road against those same two teams. And well, so right. Like he did really well against Cleveland. Obviously the five home run game was ugly, but he only allowed six runs on the five homers. So yeah, that's just a matter of maybe he was tipping something. Cause that's honestly very unusual for him. Cause he had not allowed a multi home run game until, since a game at Yankee Little League Stadium on June 22nd. So he had done a really good job of keeping the ball in the yard until then. In fact, that is his only other multi-homer game outside of the five-homer one was the game at Yankee Stadium. So I'm going to give him a pass on that. I'm going to take my chance with Singer next week if he's available to see what I can get in those two outings.
He's a guy who, because of the poor surface numbers, generally poor season. It could be kind of a nice sleeper for next year. Before we move on, I hope you'll bear with me here as I bring you a quick word or two from our sponsors. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions and even more so making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. While rapidly expanding at WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. Also, the summer is coming to an end, which means less than a month until postseason baseball. There's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to watch your team race towards the postseason, unless you're a Reds fan. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game to see your favorite performer or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. And finally, the new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. It's good news for me. To celebrate the beginning of football season in Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/daily fantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. All right, Jason, as we wrap things up here, we'll power through the rest of these tentative two-star starters. Nobody for Anaheim, but then Walker Buehler. I guess there's a chance they skip that second start, but even so, he's a five because you're never sitting Walker Buehler.
Yeah, and I don't know if they even skipped the second. I mean, they were only a game behind the Giants. They don't; yeah, those two teams don't play one another. And the Dodgers have
a game back now.
They're only a game behind one another. And the Dodgers have the Padres and the Brewers to close the season out. And so that may be, you know, they may need him to do that. And then the Giants, I forget that the Giants have the Padres to close the season out. And then they have the Diamondbacks. So the Giants have the friendlier schedule and they have the game up in the standings right now. So that second start could be, it may be for nothing. There may be nothing to be gained there. And that could be one of those where it's a maintenance start for Buehler, where he goes out there and gets three innings. It becomes a throw day for him rather than something to play for. But again, you're never sitting Walker Buehler. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I didn't realize the Giants and the Dodgers were that close, actually. I thought it was a little bit further.
It's kind of ridiculous that, you know, they are, Giants have 99 wins, Dodgers have 98 wins. And it's going to be one of those teams playing the Cardinals devil magic. and the Cardinals could knock one of those two teams out and continue. Because forget, I mean, the Cardinals are just crazy. Even yesterday, they were losing. It's like, hey, they finally, and then they came back and beat the Brewers. It's they've won 12 straight.
12 now?
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It does make me nauseous. But the Dodgers.
Remember when we were all laughing? Remember when we were all laughing when they acquired? Yeah. Like, why are they trading for Jay Happ? Why are they trading for John Lester? Like, what are they doing? Oh, they were just like preparing the Cardinals' devil magic and getting it ready for September. And here we are.
I remember saying that to like Todd, like, watch out for the Cardinals. I hate to even like speak them back into postseason existence, but sure enough, I'm not, you know, not saying I really saw it. This kind of thing coming, but I did say, you know, I saw the Reds in that wild card spot for a while, then I said, watch out for the Cards, and I just had a feeling that sinking feeling, you know, that they were going to come charging into the picture. But I will say, like you said, the Dodgers will do whatever they can next week to avoid that one-game playoff, so but assuming, well, let's just say that they get to the end of next week, and they are looking at that one-game playoff. Who would you throw in that? Would you throw Buehler or Scherzer?
I'm throwing Scherzer.
If you're the manager, you'd throw Scherzer? All right. Yeah, didn't he just get a little rocked?
He did in Colorado.
That was at Coors, yeah.
So. It's the first time he has shown any signs of being anything other than a god since the trade.
And it's Coors. You don't hold that against him. Yeah, I think I'm with you, too. I do love Buehler, but talking about one of the all-time greats and one of the greats of his generation here in Scherzer. Now, Trevor Rogers has been a big hit this year. I mean, only 7 wins, but he's been fantastic when on the mound. He did miss some time, but at the Mets versus Philly, I mean, that's a borderline 5. I'm going to give him 4.
Yes, please.
Yeah, he's a guy I really like for next year. Not going to be a $1 endgame guy like he was this year, but he'll still, I think, be cost effective. Now, nobody from Milwaukee. Joe Ryan, who we talked about earlier in the show, he's tentatively lined up for 2 for Minnesota versus Detroit at KC. I think I'm going to give him a 4 as well.
Yeah, I like him quite a bit for those two matchups. They want to see what they have in him so they can continue to see what they have in him. He's obviously debuted rather well. So I'm making sure he's in my lineups this week. I already have him in 2 different leagues. He's not coming out of that lineup.
Yeah, that'd be That's a pretty darn nice two-step to end the season for him versus Detroit at KC. Marcus Stroman versus Miami at Atlanta. I love Stro. I don't see any reason you'd sit him, so I'm going to have to give him a 5.
The match, I mean, the matchup against the Braves, it comes on the final day of the season. It really depends. If that whole situation's wrapped up, then it becomes a better matchup for him. If for some reason Atlanta needs that to hold off Philly or to or do whatever, it becomes interesting. I'm not sitting them for these matchups, but that it's a good week, but it could be a really good week if Atlanta's got nothing to play for Sunday.
Now, Corey Kluber, if you had expectations of him being the old Corey Kluber, you've been a little disappointed, but really on the field, he has not been that bad. This is a tough two-step, though. At Toronto versus Tampa Bay, I could see some scenarios where I'm throwing him, but I'm not feeling good about it. So I'm going to give him a 2 on that.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 myself because the matchup against Toronto is tough. I mean, they still have a decent chance where they are at the wild card. They've got to pull some stuff off this weekend too. When you look at what they've got, they have the Yankees and Sox are playing one another. So the best case for Toronto is that one of those teams sweeps the other one, would be the best case for them. So they could hang around, and their Twins, the Blue Jays have the Twins. And then next week they get we haven't even got to the Jays yet about who they're playing next week. I'm sorry. They've got the Yankees and the Orioles. So they have, could be really nice. It could be really nice for them in that regard. So we've got Kluber facing a very motivated Jays lineup in Toronto. I heard they're opening up even more attendance. That could be a really tough matchup. Conversely, at the last game of the season, there should not be anything left for Tampa Bay to play for at that point, unless there's an opportunity for them to knock the Yankees out of the postseason. May relish, or if they look at the matchups and be like, you know what, maybe we do want the Yankees in the postseason. There's a conspiracy theory. The Yankees let the Rays come back in 2011 in game 162. Cause they liked the matchup. They wanted the Red Sox out of the postseason. So I don't know. It's really a tough matchup to me. I'm leaning like 2, maybe a 3 on this one. Based on the data we have at hand right now. Now, after this weekend series against Boston, that could change. But right now, I'm not crazy about this matchup for him coming up.
Those are 2 tough ones. Now, Chris Bassitt, love to see him come back after that horrible injury. Returned yesterday, only threw 3 innings, but only 1 hit allowed, 4-1 K to walk. So you're putting him out there, you're not really expecting any wins, right? Because
correct,
it's not stretched out. It is at Seattle than at Houston. I love Chris Bassitt, but again, since he's not stretched out, probably only going to give him a 2. You're probably going to have better options on the waiver wire, honestly.
Yeah. We've discussed some other options, but that's the problem here. Depends what you need. If you're fine and wins, I hate you because I'm not. But if you're fine and wins and are looking for some ratio help, he's worth it. Otherwise, if you're still chasing wins like most of us, then find other options.
Yeah, wins are so tight in my leagues. I'll probably just throw somebody who has a better chance, any chance. So I just don't really see Bassitt having a chance in either of those to get the win. Now, Zach Wheeler's a 5, right? No reason to overthink that.
Correct.
Good. All right. So as we finish up here, I have to actually click on who this is for Pittsburgh.
Dylan Peters.
DP. Oh, that's Dylan Peters. Yeah, I remember him with the Angels, but did he get
correct
DFA'd and claimed?
He got some. He's over there. I believe that was the case. I mean, as you know, with the Reds, they struggle against many lefties, and so that matchup on Monday, the 27th against Cincinnati, could be a nice one for him. But then at the end of the week, he would pick up the Reds again. So he's got a 2-step against the Reds this week. Mm-hmm. Like just a minute ago, we were saying, hey, options. Like, I would take Peters over Chris Bassitt this week.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think you're right. He was traded all the way back in July. I guess I just missed it after the Angels DFA.
The Reds have had their issues against lefties, and when up against the same team, I'm willing to take my chance on a 2-step with Peters and over Bassitt, who may not won't qualify for a win in either outing.
Yeah, Peters only threw three innings his last time out, but he did throw five on September 14th. So you'd think he'd be able to go five for the win. And yeah, the Reds against lefties. Ugh. I mean, they have Castellanos, but aside from Castellanos, among right-handed bats you really fear against lefty starters, there are not very many. Now, the Padres, as they try to get in, they'll be relying on Vince Velasquez.
Pass.
That's just total desperation for them.
Negative five. No. Yeah. Wow. I've
been down this road and never again. So I'm going to go zero. I'm going to actually – I put zero down for Dylan Peters, but I think it's one. I'm going to go one. Actually, I'll go two because that's what I gave.
I'm going to go three. I'm going to go one higher than you.
Okay. Okay. Two and then clip three. And then I'm going to actually lower my Bassett grade to a one. I had him as a two, but I'm going to go one. So as we wrap things up, Chris Flexen, I saw he amazingly has like a top five ERA among qualified starters in the
good for him
in the AL. I know you got a hard out here, by the way, so we'll just power through these real quickly. Chris Flexen, I think, versus Oakland, versus four. LAA, I think is a four. Yes, Chris Flexen, four.
They still have a shot at the wild card. He's still pitching. Give me a four.
Logan Webb, I think, is a five. Logan Webb's been incredible this year.
I agree. No reason to discount him at all.
Yeah, good matchups for him, too, versus Arizona, versus San Diego. Miles Michaelis, I can't really see it. I mean, he hasn't been that bad. Versus Milwaukee, versus the Cubs, I'll give him – I guess he's kind of on that Dylan Peters tier for me, so I'll give him –
He's a three for me.
All right. So Michaelis, two for me and three for you. Sorry here. I'm just making sure I can repeat these at the end. Next up, we got Drew Rasmussen. What a run he's been on. You going to throw him at Houston at NYY?
So tough matchups here for him. What's very impressive with Rasmussen has been his ability to really attack the strike zone. Extremely pitch efficient. Problem is Houston is a high contact team. And so that outing could be really rough on him. I mean, it's no knock on Rasmussen, but that could be a playoff preview series. And so you have to wonder how much he's going to go in that one. And then the final game of the season against the Yankees, the matchups and conditions, to me, this in a normal situation, this is like a 3-4, but right now this is like a 2-3 thing for me. And I'm going to say two. There's no knock on him. It's just the situation of the week.
Impact. Right, I got a three, but I got you down for a two. Maybe I'm weighting his recent performance a little too much, but I got one mark higher than you. Nobody for Texas. And then Hyunjin Ryu's on the IL right now with a neck injury. The Blue Jays hope it's only going to be one missed start, but very tentative. I'm going to give him a four. Just he would be a five if completely healthy.
Yeah, he's got the Yankees and he's got the Orioles to close the season out. So those, it's pretty good. Pretty good matchups for him, assuming he's healthy.
I like Josiah Gray long-term, but he's been struggling, and then he goes at Colorado. So, really, I'm going to give him a zero.
And then gets Boston to close the year. So, yeah, no thanks. And I love his long-term potential.
Well, thanks so much for filling in, man. Anything you want to mention to the listeners before we let you go?
I'm not getting ready to do my accountability series about how the bold predictions went this year. I always aim to try to get about half of them right. I think this year I may have. Usually I'm somewhere between 21 and 24, but this year feels more successful than other ones recently. And I think that reflects in my own team standings because I'm in the top. I may win one league, but I'm in the top four in just about every one of my leagues this year. And I played in seven or eight of them. So doing well on that. And then it should be something going up today about Adam Duvall. So I've started some individual player deep dives. Last week I did Bobby Dalbec. And then this week did Adam Duvall because he is leading the National League in runs driven in this year out of nowhere. He's leading. He has been two different hitters with guys on base. He's been amazing. With nobody on base, he has been awful. And that you look at his overall numbers because there's a 50-50 split between those at bats, but he's something like a 300, 350, 510 guy with dudes on base, and then 190, 240, 280 with nobody on base. But he's driven in 97 runs with men on base this year. And it's been crazy because he's got a sub 300 OBP, he's got a sub 230 batting average. And only two other guys in history have pulled off leading a league in RBIs with those numbers, and it's Tony Armas and Carlos Pena. That's it. I looked it up, and that's it. That's it for driving in more than 100 runs with a sub 230 batting average. And then here's Duvall doing it this year.
Well, that's a great stat. We'll look forward to all that work, Jason, to come. Again, thank you. Really appreciate your time, man. And sure. I know you got to get out of here. So I'm going to recap these grades, but if you have to dip from the call,
I do.
Completely understand. And talk soon, okay, bud?
All right, man. Take care. All thanks.
Right, see you, Jason. I will recap these grades here and then sign off. Ian Anderson, 4. Keegan Aiken, 0. Chris Sale, 5. Wade Miley, I say 2, but Colette says 0. Herman Marquez, 3. Tyler Anderson, I say 1. Jason, 2. Brady Singer, 3. Walker Buehler, 5. Trevor Rogers, 4. Joe Ryan, 4. Marcus Stroman, 5. Corey Kluber, I say 2. Colette, 2, maybe 3. Chris Bassett, 1. Zach Wheeler, 5. Dylan Peters, I say 2. Jason, 3. Vince Velasquez, 0. Chris Flexen, 4. Logan Webb, 5. Miles Michaelis, I say 2. Jason, 3. Drew Rasmussen, I say 3. Jason, 2. Hyunjin Ryu, 4. And then Josiah Gray, 0. Thanks, everybody, for being with us throughout the season. We'll be back next Friday. No two starters, obviously, so Todd and I will kind of be doing a season recap show. Hope you'll join us on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.